bring. But in the midst of all of this, we'll also be getting the latest on where the fire spread to and, you know, what is being done to try and bring it under control. So as soon as we get hold of Charlotte Powell from the city, we will, and that's disaster risk management, then we'll be giving you that information. But it is 7 minutes past 10, the BBC next.
Join the conversation.
You're with Kate Talk.
So for the top news stories from the Beeb, otherwise known as the BBC, I'm joined by Audrey Tinlin. Audrey, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Keynote. How are you?
I'm okay. I mean, the iconic Table Mountain is on fire at the moment, and it's affecting, I mean, UCT. I'm sure you guys have looked at this as well.
Oh, yeah. Terrible story this morning to hear that news.
No, absolutely. But I'm obviously looking at the other stories. It's not only the fire that we're focusing on. I think maybe let's start with COVID, still an ever-present danger in Europe and the UK as well. Let's look ahead now for some of the stories likely to be making the story, the headlines. You know, at the end of last week, the head of the World Health Organization said that COVID cases are now nearly back to the highest level seen for this particular disease. But this week, more countries will be moving ahead with vaccinations. So what can we expect to see, Audrey?
Yeah, there is, as you were saying, some bad news on the actual levels of infections, especially in some countries, you know, India, Brazil, still seeing very high rates. And the WHO says those rates are pretty much back to what we saw at the very peak. And really, we need to get the vaccinations out there is what they're saying. And that is happening, you know, in a number of countries. There is better news on that. The Democratic Republic of Congo, for example, that's due to start vaccinating this week. And that's despite a lot of scepticism there about the vaccine. Through this COVAX vaccine sharing scheme, they've had doses of AstraZeneca delivered. They've got about 1.7 million doses waiting to go out. And today is meant to be the day when they do start to vaccinate. And the government there is taking the lead and trying to persuade people to come forward and take that vaccine. So that's what's happening. You know, one of the big stories on the African continent with the vaccine. The US is charging ahead. President Biden says that he is meeting his deadline for every adult in the US to be eligible for a vaccination by this week. And that target was brought forward by a couple of weeks because the rollout there is going ahead pretty quickly. Mexico, their president is set to receive his vaccine. He's going to take AstraZeneca vaccine and he's set to take it live during his morning news conference. Wow. And India, where the real problem, where the world is focusing on at the moment, you know, they've got some very severe cases there. They're concerned about actually running out of vaccine now. And this is in a country where they make vaccine. They are home to one of the biggest vaccine makers of a number of vaccines, not just COVID. Sure. They've suddenly found themselves short. So now they're going to keep more of their vaccine to use at home. So we're still seeing this case where countries are vying for the vaccine and some countries have a lot and others, as you well know, are just not getting the vaccine they want to see.
And what about that doofus who was it the Brazilian president? I mean, at the bottom end of the gene pool. What's happening there?
Yeah, Brazil is still having real problems with the number of people really who have got the virus. I mean, that is still a huge problem.
Yeah.
But even as they undergo these huge challenges of trying to get vaccinations, they are at the same time wanting to open up their economy. So they're moving ahead on opening up. So the message that's going out to them from the government is that we want you all to get back to work. But the message from the international health community is that we want to see you vaccinated and we want to see more measures taken to protect people.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem. Our leadership, yeah, it just speaks to how really bad leadership can literally lead you down a path of death and destruction, which is very sad to see. Even younger people now with the variant in Brazil being affected and dying as a result of it. We saw what happened when it was on America's previous president and how long it took him twiddling his thumbs while Rome was burning. So leadership, absolutely a key thing. But let's move on to Russia. I'm not crossing my fingers for leadership here either. But anyway, There's likely to be quite a lot more news about Russia this week. I mean, President Putin is scheduled to give his annual State of the Nation address, and this certainly comes as he's under some pressure at home from supporters of the opposition activist. Of course, we are talking about Alexei Navalny, who's in jail. And of course, there are new sanctions that the United States has imposed on Russia, and that was just last week. What might we expect to see in this particular address from Putin?
Yeah, the news coming out of Russia and from other countries acting against Russia is moving pretty fast over the weekend. There have been a lot more states now which have moved to expel some Russian diplomats. And on the other side, Russia has taken action against them. What we're really looking at this week is the key day is Wednesday, because that's the day when Vladimir Putin's due to give his annual State of the Nation address. And just last night, in fact, the supporters of Alexei Navalny called on their supporters to get out on the streets on that day as well, because they're very concerned that Alexei Navalny is having severe health problems. They say he's in jail and they want him to get access to his medical team. So we're likely to see on Wednesday this sort of clash, at least ideological clash, and there may well be further clashes than that. What we're expecting from President Putin is that he's likely to unveil some sort of handouts for the Russian people. This is what the analysts are saying, to try to dampen that growing dissatisfaction in the country, because he has seen his approval rating fall in the country. If you look at a poll which was done there just a month ago, he got about a 63% approval rating in March of this year. Well, that sounds pretty high, but he was on 88 to 89% if you looked at what was happening the year before. So his approval rating is going down domestically, and he will want to unveil something which will see that go back up again. But with all of these expulsions going on and other countries taking action against Russia, it's going to be a really very interesting week there.
Absolutely. And then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, why doesn't America just bring some troops on the other side of the... You can see I wasn't born to be a diplomat, Audrey Tinlin. I mean, if I were the U.S. president, I'd go, okay, so you've got your troops on the border of Ukraine. They're massing over there. I'm going to put some of my troops on the other side and let's see what you do. Only challenge is Russia might just take him up on that.
Well, I think, as you were saying there, you know, diplomacy is moving a slightly different direction. I mean, President Biden took that action against the Russian diplomats last week, expelled a number of diplomats. Russia moved on the other side. But what President Biden has said, obviously, he's talking extremely tough and he's saying Russia has to come back into line on this. Yeah. But at the same time, he's offering them talks. He's offering to sit down with President Putin. And Mr. Putin said at the moment he's thinking about it.
This is the man you call the killer.
Yes, exactly. Even while he said that, you know, President Biden said that about Mr. Putin, he's also said that the two sides need to sit down together. They need to de-escalate what's going on there on Russia's borders, not that far off from Ukraine. And the US is offering talks. So we'll wait to see if we get that far, if the tension will ratchet down again.
Ukraine, of course, a proxy for bigger stuff out there. But we certainly shall be keeping an eye on that. But now we move into space junk, right? And as if we didn't have enough to worry about on this particular planet at the moment, there's a big international conference this week looking at how we need to clean up space. I mean, the European Space Agency is bringing together scientists, engineers, policymakers, and I believe that they're going to be looking at new ways to clean up space junk. So what's the extent of that particular problem?
Yeah, looking into this story, I was really surprised at the extent of this problem. I mean, there's around 6,000 satellites that currently orbit the Earth, and half of those are no longer working. They're not actually expected to work forever, and they go out of business, so to speak. And so they continue to orbit. Eventually, they might get attracted into Earth's atmosphere and burn up. But the concerns are that those will hit other things in space, and that in return creates other bits of debris. Apparently, agencies are currently tracking 28,000 bits of space debris. And so the European Space Agency is looking at new ways to try to clean up space. They've got to start to get rid of this space junk, because we are continuing as a planet to put more and more satellites up. And we really depend on these now for our telecoms, for what is happening on the military front and the domestic front. So the plan is that they will look at absolutely everything, really. They're looking at some slightly far-fetched ideas of how you might bring them down, and others which they actually expect to happen. Things like they will send up a harpoon with a net attached. And once they have located where, it sounds far-fetched, but apparently this is one of the things which may well be happening.
Oh,
they'll
word.
Locate the space junk and they'll bring it back down. They're looking at this problem, and it has to be dealt with, they say, because it's not something which will just go away by itself, and it could pose a real challenge.
Wait for it. SpaceX junk disposal unit. And then what Elon Musk is going to do, he's going to get all these countries who sent put all their junk up there, said, you pay us and we'll happily do your waste disposal for you. I mean, obviously the people doing the waste disposal, when it comes to that particular industry, will be the highest paid in the world. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's an interesting model, actually. Some of this is what happens at the moment is the European Space Agency, for example, is doing a thing called Clear Space One, when it's going to launch an actual mission in 2025. And they pay private contractors to get involved, and it fosters the space industry in Europe. And at the same time, they are looking to the future when we will need a model on going ahead. How are you going to deal with these satellites when you put them up? What's your plan for bringing them back again?
Well, exactly. And then you've got Elon Musk with, I think it's Starlink or whatever he's calling it at the moment, some more satellites up there. You've got Google. I mean, there's obviously lower orbiting satellites, and I would imagine that there'll probably be a plan for the lower orbiting ones. But this is the nice thing about living in the world, and people with a bit of technology savvy out there. There's, you never run out of problems to solve, Audrey. You never do.
No, there's always something next to look forward to. And I must say, looking at a story like this is extremely interesting. And we have loads of problems, down here on Earth, which we're trying to deal with. And we are dealing with some of those through science, aren't we? If you look at the vaccines, for example.
Exactly.
But the ones which they're dealing with in outer space or in the orbit around us are even more fantastic.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Audrey Dillon from the BBC, thank you very much for your time, as always.
Good to talk to you.
Have a good one. Stay safe. Audrey Dillon there with the BBC, looking at the stories that are going to be coming even bigger this week. It's 10:20. You're listening to Today. I'm Kino Cummings. Coming up, we are going to be looking at what's happening on the ground as far as that fire is concerned. As soon as Disaster Risk Management decides to get back to us and tell us about it, I'll let you know. Let's just go to Joy in Camps Bay quickly. Hi, Joy.
Morning, Kino. Thanks for taking my call.
Joy, I'm told. Well done. I got into trouble. I've got to do this. It was my mistake. Hold on. Let me do this very quickly. Eh?
The new BBC News World Service app makes listening to your favorite programs on your phone even easier. And for times when you can't use Wi-Fi or data to listen, just hit the call to listen button in the middle of the screen.
This is the BBC World Service.
Call to listen is only available in selected territories. For dial-up news services, standard geographic mobile charges will apply. Please check with your provider for exact cost before calling. Download the new BBC News World Service app from your usual store.